The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
We thank all of those who are here, maybe as our guests or our visitors or whatever the case may be. Grateful for your presence here, but most of all, it's good to see one another, but we thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Our coming would be in vain if it were not for his being here. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you please would do so. We stand for the reading of the word, in honor and respect of the Holy Writ. It's from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, so there are a few good number of verses, so we understand if you cannot stand for that long, we would not see it as any disrespect. This morning, I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. It'll be up on your screen, but I'm going to encourage you to read along or whatever translation you have. It says, "Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered and said, 'Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I would do as you say and let down the nets.' When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men.' When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." On this afternoon, we're going to continue on our summer series, our series of Christian Survival Training 101, Intending to Live. And so on this afternoon, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider on today's subject, biblical principles for how to recover or how to come back from failure. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Biblical principles for how to recover or how to come back from failure. Again, our series is Christian Survival Training 101, Intending to Live. And the premise of this series is somewhat predicated on the question about when was the last time you were asked, how do you intend to live? That is, going forward. Now, that's talking to somebody right now because yesterday is gone. Last night is over, all right? Last week, last month, last year, that's the past now. So the question is, how do you intend to live from this day forward? In other words, how do you plan? How do you mean to have every intention? How do you have in mind, have in view, aspire? How do you expect to live from now going forward? Somebody needs to know that your today does not have to be like your yesterday. And tomorrow, if the Lord will, he allows us to see it, your tomorrow does not have to be like your today. As a matter of fact, that's what our theme is all about. 365 days of possibilities. As a matter of fact, do me a favor, pull out the pastor's pen, whether you read it or not. It's right there at the top of the page. It says, "Oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High, in the scriptures that support that. It says, my mouth will declare your praise. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. That's on today now. Come on, somebody. I will sing praise to your name. But let's just be honest. All of that takes work. That takes some effort. And it's especially hard to do when your life is filled with stress. That's one of the subjects of our message. Amen. How to deal with stress. It's hard to do when your life is filled with conflict. I'm talking to somebody. We've talked about that. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how to deal with a life full of mistakes. And on today, we want to talk about when you failed a time or two in your life. So this is part of our biblical training 101, and it's going to take some effort. So every time I stand here, I always ask the question, who's in? Huh? I mean, you might have been in last week. I mean, you might have been in 2 weeks ago. I mean, what happened to those New Year's resolutions y'all made on December 31st, huh? How you holding them up? I'm not saying they failed or not. So who's in? I need to know who's in today. Who's in? Huh? Amen. Amen. Because remember, I don't want you saying I'm in if you're not in. It's going to take some effort. It's going to be more than just me talking. Amen. It's going to take some work for you to do. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a failure in life, huh? I'm talking bigger than a test or a class in school or college. I'm talking about life. For somebody, you've had a failed marriage or relationship. For somebody else, you maybe have miscarried. Not once, but maybe twice. For somebody else, it might be a business venture, etc. Let me ask it this way. Have you ever tried to do something and it just didn't work? It flopped or it failed miserably? I know I, too, have failed a time or two. I'm talking about when things just don't turn out the way you'd hope they would. It's reported that it took Thomas Edison over 10,000 tries to invent a reliable light bulb. When asked why he failed so many times, he actually said, I've not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Thomas Edison also said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. I think another way for us, or maybe for somebody here up under the sound of my voice, who's maybe feeling a little down, a little frustrated, maybe discouraged about how things are going in your life right now. Another possible way for you to think about failure is like this. Failure can actually become a stepping stone to accomplishments or achievement. And an incident that I want to point to is right here in our text, and it speaks to an incident in Peter's life that I believe that will illustrate that truth. First of all, let's look at the story for a bit. It starts out with Jesus. I'm going to teach this thing. It starts out with Jesus surrounded by a crowd. Amen. They're pressing in on him, so he notices two boats on the shore. The fishermen are there too, and they're washing and putting away their nets. But they're washing and putting away their nets, Griffith, after a long, unsuccessful night of fishing. So the Bible says that Jesus got in one of the boats and he asked if they could move it out to the water a bit. And of course they do. And the Bible says that Jesus begins to teach the people from the boat. So let me ask you a question at this point. Whose boat is it? In other words, whose boat does it belong to? Amen. Who did it belong to? And again, this is a part of the biblical training because we read scripture, but we got to mind the scripture. We got to search the scripture. So Jesus got in the boat, but who does the boat belong to? Well, it's right in the text. it actually, you'll find the answer to the question in verse 3. The boat belongs to Simon Peter. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to teach this thing. The boat belongs to Simon Peter. It was Peter's boat, but watch this. Watch the text. Because what the text does not tell us is that Jesus asked permission to get in the boat. Lord, help me to stand tall. Huh? It seems, Sister Graham, that Jesus just got in on his own. Now, what the text does tell us is that Jesus asked Simon Peter to move out a little bit from the shore so that he could teach the people from there. But look at Peter's response, because his response was simple. He simply allows Jesus to be in charge. That becomes my first biblical principle for how to recover or how to come back from failure. Typically, when we fail at something, it's because we're in charge. We're doing stuff on our own. Amen. The first thing that you need to understand is, the first point of this message is, allow Jesus to take control. Now, watch the text. Watch the text. Because at this point in the context of the story, we really don't know how much Simon Peter knew about Jesus. Remember, this was before he had fallen down in amazement. This was before he had been called to be a fisherman of men. So we don't know how much Peter knew about Jesus. Maybe he heard some stories about him. But here's what we do know, Sister Fitzgerald. We know that Simon Peter allowed Jesus to be in the boat and take charge. I mean, I don't read anywhere that it says that Peter put up an argument. Doesn't say he put up any type of fuss. Doesn't say that he tried to even kick Jesus out the boat. But it does say that he allowed Jesus, while in the boat, to take control. That's the starting point for you and I. If you want to come back, if you want to recover from, if you want to overcome from failure, you've got to allow Jesus in your boat. Or, more importantly, you've got to allow him to be in charge. You've got to allow him to be in control. Listen, nothing, absolutely nothing, has greater influence on your personal life success than having Christ in your life. Amen. Do you remember what Philippians 4 and 13 says? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, through the strength and the power of Christ, I can do all things. I can overcome my failures, and I can actually achieve and succeed at some things in my life. Now, in our story about Peter, it's also important to note this. He allowed Jesus, Finley, watch this. He allowed Jesus to take control of an extremely important possession in his life. What are you talking about, Pastor King? Well, the important possession in Peter's life that he allowed Jesus to take control of was his boat. Teach, Holy Ghost. Peter's boat represented his livelihood. Peter's boat represented his income. Peter's boat represented his business. When you are a fisherman, your boat is your business. I just said something right there. Yeah. In other words, Peter went ahead and let Jesus take control of his business. Did you see what I just said? I mean, whether you or I want to admit it or not, we love to tell folk, Jamaat, sometimes even Jesus, stay out my business. This has nothing to do with you. Matter of fact, you know what they ask me. What folk want to know what you're doing, what you got going on. You know what our response is? None ya. Mm-hmm. None ya business. Huh? And depending on your mood or your condition, it might be none ya business. Amen. Amen. I mean, we've all got some things that we don't want others to touch, mess with, or get involved in. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, in the NASB, he said, "So then, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his own possessions." The Message says it like this. Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plants or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. So that's the key for somebody. That's the key. That's the key. The first biblical principle for how to recover or come back from failure. You got to allow Jesus to take control. I don't care if it's your finances. I don't care if it's your marriage, your relationship, some important decisions you got to make in your life, or just life, period. You're going to have to let Jesus take control. But that's not all. Another key principle for how to recover, or how to come back from failure, is you need to do what Jesus asks you to do. Watch the text in verse 4. Watch the text. Because it says, when Jesus finished teaching, he said to Simon, he said, "Put out in the deep water and let your nets out for a catch." Watch this. Watch this. Jesus told Simon Peter where to fish. He told him when to fish. And he told him how to fish. I'm going to fix this thing. Huh? You mind if I preach it while I teach it? Now, remember that Peter and his friends, Bell, were fishermen. They knew how to fish. They knew when to fish. They knew where to fish. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they had been fishing all night and they caught nothing. In other words, they had failed. Simon Peter was tired. Have you been there? He was exhausted and he came up empty-handed. And I imagine Peter was very disappointed. I can kind of imagine what he might have been going on in his mind at this point. Here's Jesus telling him what to do. Peter might have been thinking, see, we don't say this stuff out loud. We clap in church. We say amen in church. But sometimes we have a private resistance to the Holy Spirit's urging. Amen. So I imagine Peter probably thinking, I mean, Jesus, thought cloud, what's the use? I gave it my best shot last night, and I got nothing. I failed. I'm talking to somebody. He might have been thinking, why in the world does he want me to try this again? Matter of fact, who does Jesus think he is? He's not a fisherman. Matter of fact, I heard he's the son of a carpenter. I'm the fisherman here. I'm the professional. I'm the expert. How does he think he knows more about fishing than I do? You got to put this in context. This is before he fell down in amazement. See, we read the Bible and we always just think how folks should act, but we forget how folk act even in church. Amen. But look at what Simon Peter says in verse 5. He says, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing." Have you been there? Have you had to talk back to God? I've been there. There's a comma there and a but. Tell Jesus your situation. "Lord, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing," but don't leave it there and don't you say amen. "But I will do as you say, and let down the nets." If you're taking notes, write this down. It's easy to call yourself a follower of Christ, But it's much harder to act like one. It's much easier to call yourself a Christian, but it's much harder to live like one. You remember what Jesus said in John 14, 15? He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Listen, I know it goes without saying, but it really is one thing to call yourself a Christian, but it's a whole other thing to do what Jesus tells you to do. Remember, it's not can Jesus tell you what to do? Of course the answer is yes, but it's and you do it. That becomes the next step. If you are truly a Christian, then you will follow Christ at whatever the cost, and you'll do what Jesus asks you to do. Do you know what Peter did? He went out to the deep water. And the Bible says he let down his nets and he started fishing, in a sense, again. He did just what Jesus told him to do. Here's another point. Watch this. Think about this. It was the same lake, Jesus. It was the same lake that he had just fished in the night before. I need this to hit somebody. It was the same boat that he had just used. Watch this. And it was the same nets that he had just used that came up empty before. He was the same man who had caught nothing the night before, but this time he did what Jesus had asked him to do, and what was the outcome? It was completely different than the night before. He now had a boatload of fish. Wait a minute, check that. He didn't have one boat, he had two boatloads of fish. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, your today does not have to be like your yesterday. You can't miss that. Same lake, same boat, same nets. Wait a minute. He was the same man. But God stepped in. He had to let Jesus be in control. Now, to help somebody here today, you're going to have to learn to let Jesus be in control. And if you're like most of us, you like to be the one driving and not riding in the passenger seat. Amen. He had to let Jesus take charge. He had done what Jesus had asked him to do, and now, Sister Brown, he's succeeding. Which brings me to my final biblical principle here from the text for how to recover or how to come back from failure. Number one, allow Jesus to take control. Number two, do what Jesus asks. But then here's number three, reset the priorities of your life. You're going to have to reset some priorities of your life. Verse 11 says, "Whoo, Jesus." When they had brought their boats, whoo, thank you, Holy Ghost. Verse 11 says, when they had brought their boats to the land, that they left everything and followed him. Now folk love to jump on that and get happy. And it's a happy verse, but watch me teach it. Because think about this. When they got to land, they left the greatest catch. Teach this thing, Holy Ghost. Think about it. When they got to the land, they left the greatest catch that they had ever experienced before in their life, Stephanie, and they left it right there on the shore. Wait a minute. The very thing that they went out on the lake for in the first place. The very thing that they had been trying to do all night the day before, and that was simply catch some fish. Now they are living in abundance. They are living in overflow, if you will. And the Bible says they left it all sitting right there on the shore. And they went and followed Jesus. What's the teaching? What you think about that? What you think about that? You've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying. And now your breakthrough comes. Here's your breakthrough. You get that job. You get that promotion. You get that acceptance letter into college or whatever. You get that special somebody you've been praying for. You get that marriage proposal. You get that healing. You get that miracle in your life. But here's the point. There are still far too many people who hold on tighter to the miracle than they do the miracle worker. Amen. You got the job, but now you put more value in the job than the one who blessed you to get the job. You get the promotion, and you're proud of your promotion. Well done. But now you walk around in your promotion bigger than the one who blessed you to have it. You finally got that boo or that boo thing. And I know you've been praying, and God has blessed you to find them, the one you never thought you would find. But now you put more effort into them than into the one who blessed you to find them. Yeah, you got the proposal. I's married now. But you best believe that the one who blessed you to get married is going to be the one that blessed you to stay married. You finally got the healing or the ministry, whatever it is. And we seem to put more focus on the miracle than the miracle worker. The one who, think about it. This is what the Holy Spirit wants us all to be thinking about. The one who, if he could perform that, whatever your that is, Jesus, you know what it is. If he can perform that, if he can do that, there isn't anything that he can't do other than fail. He can do anything but fail, for with God, nothing is impossible. That's why God sent us back to a familiar text. He had to get us to go deeper, just like he told Peter, we need to launch out into the deep of this scripture. The disciples realized that Christ had invited them to become a part of the greatest fishing trip in history. He said to them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So as I get ready to close, here's the life application. The question is, how does this story relate to your life? Maybe you feel like the disciples before Christ came along, and you said, I've worked all night and I've come up with an empty net, whether financially, relationally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Does that describe your attitude toward your marriage or your relationship right now? What about your relationship with your family, your brothers and sisters, or even your brothers and sisters in Christ? What about that job? What about your ministry? For somebody right now, it's just life in general. Simon Peter didn't say, Lord, I've worked 10 hours and didn't catch anything. I give up. I've had it. I'm through. And I quit. No, he didn't give in. He didn't give up. But what he did do was he let Jesus take control. He did what Jesus asked him to do, and he reset the priorities in his life. And that was the pattern for his success. I'm talking to somebody, and I got to ask you, what are you going to do? Yeah, you can keep doing the same thing, getting the same result, and that's okay if that's not the if that's the result you want. But for somebody I'm talking to, that's not what you're looking for. So what you going to do? So you're going to keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result? That's insane. Or you can do something that's going to take a little bit of work and effort on your part. And some of the work and effort on you is just to let go and let God. You're struggling and you're frustrated, can't get ahead with your money, can't get ahead with your ministry, can't get ahead with the things that you're managing in your life, and you're trying to figure out why. But you've not tried anything different. But what you say is, but I keep going to church and that ain't working. Being in church ain't in Christ. You keep saying, I'm praying. And God has said, but I'm here to answer your prayer. But are you ready for the answer that I'm ready to give you? Because I may tell you to go back to the very spot where you said it didn't work the last time. Somebody's trying to run, whether it's from a relationship, from a ministry. Folk are going from church to church to church. And he's saying, no. You ain't fixed where you were the last time. And everybody keeps saying, everybody is messed up in the church, and there's only one common denominator everywhere you go. Everywhere. When are you going to let Jesus in your business? That was a revelation for me too. King, you handling my business, but I need to get in your business. The one where you said, I got this, and you think you're doing all right. Just because you've gotten by don't mean you've gotten away. And that just simply means that people always think that's something real bad or real negative. No. Even a half step outside of the perfect will of God is too far. Whether it's your thought life, whether it's your actions, your attitude, your belief, for somebody, you've fallen and you feel like you can't get up. And the Lord has said, I'm right here. It's going to take some work. But are there any witnesses in here who can testify with a show of hands or with a clap that it's worth it and it works? We've been there and we've done that, but we're not done doing that. All have come short of the glory of God. And we're not here because we've been so good. We're here because God has been so good to us. We're not here because we've done everything right. We're here because God has given us an opportunity to get it right and to do the right thing. Quit lamenting on last night. Okay, it happened. You messed up. It was a mess. But don't keep living messy going forward. Mm-mm. And you don't have to keep getting in mess when you knew it was a mess before. That's not of God. That's why he said, I'm not the author of confusion. I'm not. That's the devil. The devil has us messed up, thinking that we can fix ourselves. That's why you got folk leaving church. I'll be back when I get myself together. Bless your heart. I'll be back. I got some things, quote unquote, I got to work on. If you could fix yourself, then you wouldn't need God. If you could save yourself, then you wouldn't need God. Biblical principles for how to recover or how to come back from failure. All have come short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God for the power of the blood of Jesus that covers us all. As the doors of the church open, you better realize that Jesus had to leave glory. Come down.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.